Galatians 5:1. I'm just going to share a couple scriptures with you here, and then I'm going to turn this to Brother Heiner. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, to understand this verse, you have to go back and read all of chapter 4, because in chapter 4, this is where Paul talks to them about the bondwoman and the free woman, Hagar, Hagar and Ishmael, Ishmael, the son of the bondwoman, and Isaac, the son of promise. And he reminds them, hey, we're children of the promise here. We're not children of bondage, but we're children of the promise. And so he's writing to the church here. And he's communicating in such a way that there's instruction and warning not to get entangled again with the yoke of bondage. As though there's a stepping away from something. There's a deliverance and there's a victory that I experience. Anybody here ever felt that way? Maybe it was a Monday morning in prayer, Tuesday morning in prayer. Maybe it was a Sunday morning in service, a Wednesday evening Bible study, whatever time it was. But you came away and you felt like, I've got the victory. Like you're like, what's the song say? Can no devil in hell stop me? I've got victory. That's how you feel. And then the next day, you find yourself entangled again. In the yoke. Now, the interesting thing about this yoke of bondage, when you think about this word yoke, this isn't an egg yoke. This is the yoke that was put on oxen, an oxen team, to pull a plow through a field or to thresh wheat. And so when you put a pair of oxen or a pair of horses into a yoke, you harnessed them together. So basically what he's saying here is don't harness yourself, don't strap yourself to that bondage again. You become entangled again. You put yourself in this situation where you take this on yourself. You allow this to be put on you. Now, we're going to jump way ahead. Can you jump to the end of the chapter? Verse here if you want. This is important because where he's going in the end of this, verse 24. Thank you. So he's this whole two chapters about walking with the Lord, our relationship with God, walking in the Spirit, being led of the Spirit. So he says, be careful that you don't become entangled again. God sets you free. Now we're at the end of the chapter, and he says in verse 24 here, and they that are Christ's have crucified, everybody say crucified, the flesh with the affections and lust. Now, I think, I'm being facetious here, okay? I think Brother Paul made a mistake. He used the past tense when he should have been using the present tense. Had he wrote it properly, you know, as we see it in our daily walk with God, they that are Christ are crucifying the flesh. As though it's something that I'm doing it right now. I'm crucifying my flesh right now with its affections and lust. But Paul talks about it in the past tense as though it's something that has happened. It's something that I've dealt with. My goodness. I don't know if you deal with this like I deal with this. I don't know if you're flesh like I'm flesh. I'm probably special flesh. I'm touched a little bit. I'm special flesh, okay? I'll just put me in the lump. You guys figure it out on your own. I'm special flesh. And this idea that and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh, past tense. It's done. It's taken care of. I don't have to worry about that anymore. I don't identify with that. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. This word affections, this word lust, talks about appetites. Talks about things that are desires in my heart. Things that I want. It's amazing to me how many times things come around. You encounter situations that you ask yourself. Again, maybe this is just me. I'm talking to the back wall tonight. Why do I feel this way about this situation? Why did this upset me? Why am I finding myself questioning things or questioning myself or questioning this process or questioning this individual or why? The opposite of that is this place of submitting myself, of being submitted. My kids aren't here tonight, so I can talk about this. This idea of submitting myself to a place where when that urge comes to say whatever's on my mind, I'm submitted to the Spirit of God. I'm submitted to the process of God in such a way that that stuff doesn't come out of me. I'm trying to help my kids with that. You can't just say whatever's on your mind. I know you're upset right now because you have to go to bed at 8 o'clock. But you can't inform me and lecture me on how ridiculous that is and how bad of a dad I am for making you go to bed at 8 o'clock. I know that's how you feel, but you can't say that. I wonder sometimes if the Lord, who knows my thoughts, he knows the intents of my heart, if he hears some of my conversations with myself, Brother Thompson, says, you can't talk like that. You can't say those things. My flesh. These men of the Bible, especially the writers of these epistles, they weren't perfect. They were striving towards a place of being fully and wholly submitted to the plan and purpose of God for their lives. And they walked in such a way every single day where they just accepted what was coming next. I mean, at one point, it was Paul, right, who said that, I believe he said that, I think it was the book of Acts, he said, I don't know whether I'm going, but one thing I do know that where I go, chains await me. Or is that Peter? It was Paul. Literally saying, hey, I'm not really sure what's happening here, where I'm supposed to be going, but what I do know is where I am going. I'm going to prison. Well, then why are you going? Because that's the will of God. That's what God's asked me to do. That's how he can say, I've crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. That seems impossible to me. You know what seems impossible to me? Knowing that if I get up from here and I travel to Seattle tonight, I'm going to get arrested and go to prison. But nevertheless, and I'm probably going to be beaten, I'm going to be scourged, my picture's going to be on the front page of the Seattle Times tomorrow. And God telling me all that and saying, but you're going to go stand on the street corner tonight and preach the gospel. Jonah did the opposite. God told him, here's where you're going to go, here's what you're going to do, here's what you're going to say. Nope. I'm going here. I don't want to deal with that. You see, the opposite of Paul submitted to the process. Okay. If chains await me, chains await me. I've got to do the will of God. Verse 25. Awesome. You want me to sing? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Verse 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Is that it? Or is there one more? That's it. Okay. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I don't know why this was, as I was reading this afternoon, I don't know why it was so interesting to me, but this idea of, you know, we say we live in the Spirit. He says, well, if you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. So they're two separate situations, two separate actions. If your Spirit, if you say, I'll put it for you this way, if you say you're Spirit filled, then walk in the Spirit. If you've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then walk in it. In other words, you say you're Spirit filled, but you walk in the flesh. You've not crucified the flesh with its affections and lust. You say you have the Holy Ghost. That's great. I have the Holy Ghost, but cool. Spirit filled. Then don't walk in the flesh. Don't let your flesh rule and reign. I'm not saying I live there. But Paul's instruction to the church is to go, jump back to verse 24 real quick. Paul's instruction to the church is to live a life where your flesh has been crucified. See, when my flesh becomes crucified, then I don't care. I'm not concerned about anything. And this is an interesting dynamic, because when my flesh is crucified, I really don't care about a whole lot. You know, it's funny. I've mentioned this in the past, but Brother Kendrick and I like to bounce our work scenarios off of each other and different things that are going on, and we kind of, in a lack of better terms, we cry to each other about issues and concerns. And I cry on his shoulder, he cries on mine. We comfort each other, and we wipe each other's tears, and then we move on. But I question sometimes, why does this bother me? Okay, well, this is my flesh. In the Spirit, this shouldn't bother me. If I'm walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit together, then this shouldn't bother me. But when I'm operating in my flesh, when I step into a fleshly standpoint of, well, this is who I am, this is who I should be, this is who I want to be, this is what, then I get bothered when I don't live up to those or don't accomplish those things. Like, wow, how does that apply to your job? Well, if I say I'm living in the Spirit, then I got to walk in the Spirit. And if I'm going to walk in the Spirit, I don't just walk in the Spirit in this room, but I walk in the Spirit in life. And if I'm walking in the Spirit, my life's submitted to Him and I am crucified. I've crucified the flesh with its affections and lust. Then I'm okay with whatever happens. For the first time the other day, I got really irate with somebody at work. Not in a mad sense, but I determined, you know what? You're not getting the credit for this. And I called their supervisor and I said, you're going to hear a story tomorrow, and this is what's going to be said and this and that. But you know what? And I said to her, I said, you know, I'm not a big person on who gets the credit around here, and you know that. I don't care who gets the credit. Company wins, everybody wins. I don't need my name in highlights, but that person didn't have anything to do with that. And I was calling for somebody else. I wasn't even calling for myself. That person didn't have anything to do with that. That was his doing. And I want you to know that, because that person is going to try to take credit for it. Now, that was in the flesh. Right? Because when I'm walking the Spirit, I don't care. It doesn't bother me. It's water off my back. And so I'm going to sum all this up, and Brother Heiner can come fix it. When I'm living and walking in the Spirit, there's a peace about everything. I don't find myself having to react to situations or respond to situations. I don't feel pressure to, what? I'm dead. I'm not there. This is, hi, I'm Nick. I still operate in my flesh sometimes. Just being real. I'm not here yet, but I'm striving toward that. That I can become crucified, Sister Pat, crucified. Not crucifying today, crucified. That when I enter into my day, I'm fine. I'm good. Well, my day didn't go my way. That's okay. I'm okay with that. Jesus, help us. We need your grace, Father. We cannot do this on our own, but it is only by your grace. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hatarorobo kotorobo shetia taye. Itarorobo kotorobo shetia taye. Itayararamakitia torobo shetia taye. Jesus' name. If you've ever hunted, you take an animal, you bag an animal. Before you run up and you just grab that animal, usually walk up with the barrel of your gun and you touch it on the antlers or you touch it to make sure it's not alive anymore. Right? You can't run up in the middle of a bear and just grab it. Oh, it's still alive. I feel like sometimes the Lord just pokes me a little bit to make sure my flesh is dead. Make sure you're still crucified. Oh, it moved. It reacted. It responded. Better go pray again. Something comes about. I think something's going to happen. Something else happens. I get upset. Oh, it flinched. Better step back and wait 5 more minutes. Brother Heiner.
I don't know if I can do this without a podium. Well, a little out of my element here, my comfort zone. There's a premium in our society around convenience. Anybody notice that? We like to make things easy. There's a complete industries around, you know, in technology advancements about making things easier for us. Everything's just at the touch of your fingers. You can order something by voice command. You can talk to your Alexa and have something to your door the next day. It's that easy. My wife had me go and pick up some groceries from Walmart. And all I had to do was drive up to a parking stall outside. A guy came out with a cart full of groceries all bagged up, ready to roll. Pop the trunk. He puts them in for me. I drive away. Done. Grocery shopping done. Don't have to step foot in the store. Hallelujah. But there's such a push on companies to make things more convenient. It'll attract people. It'll get more business if we just make things easier for people to do things and to shop. I mean, think about it. They have an electric toothbrush. This is so hard. You know, this is just killing people's arms and wrists and causing all kinds of issues. So they had to make an electric one because this is too much work. It's easier, and if we're not careful, we can look for the easy way out, the way of convenience, the path of least resistance. And really, that's for our flesh. We all like comfort. I like comfort. You know, I like a nice, comfortable chair to sit on. I don't want to sit all day on a board or a stool or something uncomfortable. You want comfort. And sometimes in our flesh, we can carry that over into our walks with God. And we can view comfort and put a premium on comfort. And one verse or passage I want to take a quick look at tonight in Revelation chapter 3. In verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. You back up to verse 17 again. This is talking about the church saying, I'm rich. Money generally buys you comfort. You know, if you, the more money you have, okay, you may not be able to buy happiness, but you can buy comfort. In this scripture, they're talking about comfort, and these people view their riches and the things that they have, their belongings, their possessions, and they say, I don't need anything. I have everything I need. I'm comfortable. And yet they don't know that they're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And then it talks about finding that gold, and back to verse 18. I'm counseling thee, I'm instructing thee, I'm advising you, buy of me gold tried in fire, the purest of gold. The way that gold is purified, it goes through fire. We all know the process. It's purified in the heat and the extreme conditions of being in flame. That sounds real comfortable, right? That sounds like a lot of fun. Just go jump in a fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. We could play a little game here, and everybody would stand up and find another place to sit down. You ever notice our patterns? We fall into a pattern. Cools usually sit here. I usually sit over there, depending on if it's a Sunday or Wednesday. I don't know why, it just happens that way. Lindsay's usually in this area. You ever notice that we generally have a repetition? Why is that? We're comfortable. We've done it before. I know that spot. I'm comfortable in that spot. That spot knows me. Now, if we were to stand up and rearrange and find another spot to sit, likely we wouldn't go too far. If I made a rule, said, okay, you have to switch with someone else in the room. You have to look around, find somebody, and switch places with them. We would all look for the closest person and say, okay, yeah, you and me switch, okay. And then we would just move two chairs over. We would. That's how it goes. Because it's the easiest. It's the closest. Now, these are obvious, you know, physical things and analogies. But I found that God isn't necessarily concerned with our comfort level. He's a good father. He takes care of his children. He makes sure that his, you know, children aren't begging bread. We know all the backgrounds. He's our provider. He takes care of us. But he's not concerned about my comfort. If my comfort's going to get in the way of doing his will. He'll ask of us things that completely remove us from what we want to do and what we're comfortable with. And usually the main reason we're not comfortable with it is because we've never done it before. And he'll lead us, and he has desires for us. He wants us to participate in things and follow him in certain areas. And if we're not careful, we can resist that and say, no, that's not my calling. That's not my gifting. No, it's just you're not comfortable. We have to be very careful that we, in submission to the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. So you can't walk in the Spirit as we just heard a few minutes ago. You can't walk in the Spirit and the flesh at the same time. Sometimes we can try to do both. You know, we go to work and it's just easier to blend in. You know, it's just easier not to be the Joe Christian, and you know, it's just okay, I'm not at church, I'm just living life, let's do this, and when we go to Sunday or Wednesday, then we'll be all on fire for God again. That's our flesh. But the Lord's looking for a place of commitment, a place of walking in him. And we've heard a lot about hunger. Elder Johnstone's talked about hunger a lot lately. Hunger will drive you to do things. Why? Because you're uncomfortable. Hunger makes me uncomfortable. I don't like being hungry. Hunger will make you act, will make you move, will make you get out of your realm of normal day-to-day activity. We have to be hungry for God. We have to hunger and desire more of him. We have to desire and hunger him of the things of God above our comforts, above our flesh and our desires. Why don't we stand tonight? Jesus, we're thankful for your word tonight. We're thankful for your desires and for your will, Jesus. Lord, we reach for you in submission tonight. In Jesus' name, let us be surrendered to the cross tonight. As you were surrendered to the cross, Jesus, let us be surrendered to our cross today. Let us pick up our cross and follow you. Jesus, I pray for a refresher tonight, God. Let us be drawn back to your will tonight. Let us lay aside the things of this world. In the name of Jesus, loose us, God, from the comforts of this life. Lord, we don't want to go through discomforts, but God, let us be saved above all else. In Jesus' name, let us do your will above all else. Let us search after you above all else, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hilalamaso yashatahai. Yikaya tololamashataha. Yimaye lobosie yatahai. Hian loloboshi analabaha. Search my heart tonight, Jesus. Search my heart tonight, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Before we leave tonight, I believe if you need to go, you can go. Sister Yana, is she still in here? Did she leave? She's still downstairs. Okay. I believe the kids are going to practice upstairs their Christmas program. So if you want to leave, you're more than welcome to. If you want to stick around and see that, you can. Two other quick announcements. Don't forget the 30th. There won't be service here. It'll be in Kent. So there'll be service will be canceled here. And then also a week from tonight,